is Stillman and Company, delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025. The Game Titans offseason preview show starting at 4 o'clock, but we've got big news out of Knoxville. I'll give Dondi Plowman, the new chancellor at Tennessee, I'll give her some credit. She moves pretty quickly. Boom! Out goes Jeremy Pruitt. Boom! Out goes Philip Fulmer. Boom! In goes Danny White, the new athletic director at Tennessee. Tennessee recently just put out a press release that names Danny White officially the athletic director. Now, there are no quotes, there are quotes, but there's no press conference yet, and there's no mention of how much money they're going to pay him, which is going to be a lot. We'll get to that in a second. If you don't know who Danny White is, he's the athletic director at UCF. He has been the athletic director at Buffalo and now UCF. He's won it both. He's known well for being a fundraiser and a facility builder, including $70 million to the football facility at UCF. But he's best known for hiring coaches at the lower levels of Division I and those guys going on to big-time Power 5 jobs. At Buffalo, he hired Bobby Hurley as the basketball coach. And Bobby Hurley went to Arizona State, and they've been to the last two NCAA tournaments. He then hired Nate Oates at Buffalo. Nate Oates is at Alabama and has maybe the most impressive basketball squad, most surprising squad this year in Alabama, who just ran up on LSU and smacked the Vols in Thompson Bowling. At UCF football, he hired Scott Frost. And after two years at UCF in that fake national championship, which Danny White very much was a part of, after their fake national championship, Scott Frost went to Nebraska. Then they hired Josh Heupel. Josh Heupel, the former national championship-winning quarterback at Oklahoma, is 28-8 so far at UCF. He hired Johnny Dawkins, the basketball coach, the former longtime Duke player, longtime Duke assistant. He hired Johnny Dawkins when he got fired at Stanford. And Johnny Dawkins so far has been okay at UCF. He made the tournament, almost beat Zion Williamson and Duke a couple of years ago when he had Taco Fall, the big 7'5" post player when he had him at UCF. So far, so good. I mean, it looks like a good resume. Now, here's the one thing I want to stress at the beginning. First off, yes, there are such things as home run hires, but it's really, really hard to actually hit a home run as far as athletic director is concerned or big-time coach at a big-time SEC program. I saw somebody post earlier today who used to be on the radio here in Nashville, and they posted, "Oh, my God, what a home run hire for the Vols. This is excellent. He's a great hire. He is this. He is, oh, yeah." And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Calm down. Calm down. He didn't actually win a football national championship at UCF, though they claim that they did. He had a good run. He had a good run at Buffalo. He had a good run at UCF. He's hired good coaches. He's won a lot of games. He's built facilities. But a lot of guys can perform well at AAA. It's another thing when it comes to the big leagues. And today, Danny White decided he was ready for the big leagues. Now, he signed a contract extension in March at UCF that would pay him $1 million a year and would have a $2.5 million buyout if he were to leave. And obviously, Tennessee is going to pay that $2.5 million buyout, and they're going to pay him more than $1 million a year since that's what he was making at UCF. And that's more than the $900,000 Philip Fulmer was making. So Dondi Plowman and Randy Boyd, at least they're putting their money where their mouth is. I have no idea if Danny White is the athletic director who returns the Vols to greatness. In a perfect world, he would go out, hire a coach, maybe a guy none of us have heard of, maybe a guy with some kind of Duke tie because his dad is the athletic director at Duke, and clearly he's gone the Duke route for figuring out his basketball hires. Johnny Dawkins, Bobby Hurley. I mean, those are Duke guys. So maybe he goes the Duke route, finds UT a good football coach. UT gets their butts back on the football field, and in 3 years, they are not the unmitigated disaster that we are currently looking at when it comes to that program. But what Danny White's hiring really is the same as any time you hire a football coach who is not a Power 5 coach to take over a big job. There's never a sure thing. It should be noted, there's never a sure thing when you hire a Power 5 coach for another Power 5 job. Charlie Strong had a bunch of success at Louisville. He wasn't very good at Texas. But every time that you hire the hot non-Power 5 coach into the Power 5, there's always a chance it doesn't work. Yes, sometimes it's Urban Meyer from Utah to Florida. That's a pretty good hire. Sometimes it's Tom Herman from Houston to Texas. Scott Frost, an unbelievable coach in his two seasons with Danny White at UCF. Scott Frost at Nebraska is 12-20 through four seasons. It's a little bit harder at Nebraska in the Big Ten against Ohio State and Penn State and Michigan and Michigan State. It's a little bit harder in the Big Ten to win in football than it is at UCF. And it's going to be harder for Danny White at Tennessee than it was at UCF. So I look at this like a coaching hire. And I think the athletic director hire was absolutely, positively critical. Absolutely critical that they got the athletic director hire done. They got the athletic director hire done. And it looks like a real athletic director. I talked about this when Clark Lee got the Vanderbilt job. And Gentry Estes in the Tennessean wrote a column that I didn't agree with that was home run hire for Vanderbilt. And I thought, that's not a home run hire. Clark Lee is a successful coordinator at one of the top programs in the country, and he's going to the lowest job in the SEC, which is a school he happened to go to. That is a par for the course hire. Again, Urban Meyer from Utah to Florida is a par for the course hire. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. Jim McElwain from Colorado State to Florida, a par for the course hire, didn't work out. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. And that's how we have to look at Danny White. Again, this is not a home run hire. This is a par for the course hire. You're the University of Tennessee. You see one of the best group of five ADs who has experience and has had success, and you hire him and you say, let's see if you can do this on the big league level. Because UCF, no matter how many fake national championship banners he wants to hang, no matter how many AAC games they win in basketball, it ain't the SEC. And Alabama is well prepared. Florida is well prepared. Georgia is well prepared. I don't need to go through the list. But at least this guy knows what he's doing. Philip Fulmer, no disrespect, had no idea what he was doing. This guy's got a clue. This guy has hired some good coaches. This guy has built some facilities. There's a whole article or a whole part of their press release where they talk about winning with integrity. That's obviously a big deal to them. Again, Hugh Freeze not coming. So I don't know what direction Danny White's going to go in. I don't know if he's going to be any good. But this is the kind of hire they needed. This is the type of hire they needed. The type that is, again, this is the kind of AD UT should be hiring. I talked to somebody today who said, yeah, this is kind of like hiring Billy Napier to be your football coach. Guy's had success at the lower level. Now it's time to bring him up to the big leagues. Let's see if he can do it. One of my favorite aspects about the Danny White hire, and I think this will also appeal for the football coach. Everybody, every list I saw, whether it was Rocky Top Insider, whether it was The Athletic, whether it was the Knoxville News Sentinel, whether it was John Bryce, every single list that had an athletic director candidate grouping for Tennessee had a bunch of people that had some tie to the University of Tennessee. Whether they had been an associate AD there in the past, whether they had played at Tennessee, whether they had coached at Tennessee, there was always something about the Vols that was somewhat close to each athletic director candidate. You know, he might be the AD at Johnsonville Lafayette State Tech, but did you know that he did mop the urinals at Neyland Stadium when he got his career started? I didn't need somebody with Tennessee ties. And I know it's fun to talk about, and it's fun to say, hey, Philip Fulmer cares about the Vols, because Philip Fulmer is a legend, and he is a Vol, and Philip Fulmer was not qualified to be athletic director, and he didn't do a very good job. You need a guy who's qualified. I don't care how much, I don't care about his ties to the Vols. John Curry had ties to the Vols. Everybody that you seem to want to bring in, it's, oh, ties to the Vols. I don't need that. Nick Saban didn't have ties to Alabama. You don't need ties to the school you're going to. For everybody out there who wants them to hire Gerard Mayo to be the head coach of the UT football program, in spite of the fact that he's not even really that experienced of an NFL coach and has never coached in college, you don't need UT ties. It's nice that Johnny Majors had UT ties. It's nice that Philip Fulmer had UT ties, but you don't need UT ties. You need competence. You need experience. You need the ability to manage. You need the ability to coach. You need the ability to foresee problems before they happen. That has nothing to do with your history at the University of Tennessee. So everybody in this UT search for athletic director, they threw out the guy at Tennessee State. They threw out the guy at Austin Peay. They threw out the guy at East Carolina. They all had something to do with the Vols. This guy has absolutely nothing to do with the University of Tennessee, and I like it. In fact, the biggest parallel I could draw between Danny White and the University of Tennessee, other than the fact that his brother beat the daylights out of Tennessee the other day in basketball, the only thing I could draw was David Cutcliffe at Duke. Danny White's dad's the AD at Duke. David Cutcliffe is the coach. We all know David Cutcliffe and Philip Fulmer are very close. That's the only thing I could draw from. And I'm glad. Because at some point, it's nice to have somebody from the outside come in and maybe bring a dose of reality about all of the work and all of the changes that the University of Tennessee needs done in order to compete with the big boys in the SEC. He's hired Power Five coaches in the Group of Five. Now it's a time to see if he can hire a Power Five coach at the Power Five level. Just like a top prospect who gets called up to the big leagues, it's time to see if he can hit a curveball. Just like a football coach who's had a ton of success in the Mountain West Conference or the AAC or the Sun Belt Conference or whatever have you, Conference USA, it's time to see if he can win in the SEC. That's what Danny White is. I don't know if it's a good hire because I don't know the man. I don't know if it's a good hire because sometimes it's much bigger than just the guy. But this is the kind of athletic director Tennessee needs. You got to start at the bottom. He's the guy. He fits what you need in order to be successful. Does it mean it's going to work? No, it doesn't. But it's better than the old ball coach. It's better than, well, he's a Vol. It's better than, well, we've heard of him before. No, it's nice to start over brand new. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. So far, I like it. I'm not going to say that he's going to completely change UT Athletics. We'll see. 615-737-1025. Coming up on the other side, I have talked to a Power 5 administrator, and I have talked to some football coaches. I have asked for their thoughts on Danny White, and I'll be honest, they're mixed. They know Danny White more than I do. They know Danny White more than you do. I will tell you what they say. Plus, we'll get to your texts. We'll get to your calls, your thoughts. And the question I have for the callers and the texters today at 615-737-1025 is this. When you heard the news and you looked up Danny White and you saw the accomplishments at UCF, how does that make you feel about the future for the Vols? 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Stillman & Company is live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's ESPN 1025 The Game, and of course, we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
We're looking for someone who is a strong leader and who has principles and values, who also has experience in hiring coaches, and who can help us look towards the future. We've got a great future here. And as disappointed as we are, we're determined to get this right and to get a good person in place, both as AD and as head coach. So I think leadership and integrity are huge. And then experience in this role before will be important as well.
Donnie Plowman, it's almost like on Monday when she said that, it's almost like who she knew she was talking to or talking about. And that is Danny White, the new athletic director at the University of Tennessee. Donnie Plowman in the release says, quote, Danny White is an innovative leader in college athletics with a strong track record in recruiting and developing leaders. And I think we can all agree on that. I do think that. I mean, again, Bobby Hurley, Nate Oates, Scott Frost, Josh Heupel, Johnny Dawkins. I mean, I feel good about those names. Johnny Dawkins won NCAA tournament appearance at UCF, but nobody there cares. And they're in the AAC, the conference that Connecticut was so desperate to get out of because basketball there is so lame. So, you know what? Fine. I think he's done a good job. She says and continues, he brings the combination of a winning attitude, competitive drive, and dedication to integrity and academics that we are looking for. We undertook this search with urgency and found strong interest from a robust candidate pool, enabling us to act quickly and with great confidence. I'm proud to say we found our leader, and I'd like to thank President Boyd, our trustees, and our staff for their support and hard work. Now, it says that they had a robust candidate pool. The Knoxville News Sentinel reported Danny White was the only guy they interviewed. That the chairman of the board, Randy Boyd, Donnie Plowman, flew down to Orlando yesterday. They interviewed Danny White, and then they hired him. So if this fails, they will point to that and say, you didn't interview more candidates. But it sounds like this is the guy they wanted the whole time. It sounds like this is what they wanted to build there. Now, I have talked with people off the record about, hey, what do you think of this guy? Because I don't know this guy. Ian asked me earlier today, he said, hey, what do you think of Danny White? What do you know of the guy? I said, the only thing I remember is I remember two things about Danny White's tenure at UCF. One, I remember the fake national championship thing. And I remember how Nick Saban got really perturbed about the UCF 2017 national champions. Now, if there ever was a team that deserved out of the group of five to play in the college football playoff, to me, it was that UCF team. And they did beat Auburn, and I believe they beat somebody else that season. So they kind of did deserve it. They beat Auburn in the Peach Bowl, and Auburn had beaten Alabama and Georgia, who played in the national title. But it was stupid. Now, maybe this is one of those things where 40 years down the road, just like how seven teams have claimed the 1951 national championship, maybe they'll use the Sagarin rankings or they'll use something and they'll claim a national title. But as far as a real national title is concerned, I thought that was dumb. But I understand why he did it, and it got them publicity. The second thing is I remember Danny White consistently was going on the record saying nobody wanted to play UCF. And nobody does want to play UCF in football because they'll probably lose. So that's a good sign, right? That you've built a good enough power group of five program that power five teams don't want to play you. That's all good. Now, again, I've talked to coaches. I've talked to administrators. I talked to a power five administrator. In fact, I'll do the good first. I talked to a coach. And I said to the coach, I go, hey, what's word on the street about this guy? And he talked a lot about the family aspect. Dad's an athletic director. Brother's an athletic director. Brother's a basketball coach. Sister works in athletic administration. That it's a AD-centric family. It's a college athletics family. Talked about the hires they had at Buffalo. They were good. At UCF, good hires. Got a new stadium built. And said, I think he's got a big personality and is good with facilities and fundraising. It'd be like hiring a high-end coach at a group of five program to be your head coach. You're getting a hot shot on the rise. So that's what a coach said. It's a hot shot on the rise, which is how I felt, again, in comparing this to a guy who has dominated at the minor league level, and now it's time to see if he can hit fastballs at the major league level. A guy who has won games at Utah, like Urban Meyer did when they were in the Mountain West, and now it's time to see if he can go coach at Florida. That's what it is. Tom Herman dominated at Houston. That earned him the Texas job. That was a fair hire. That was an on-par hire, an expected hire. He failed, or at least wasn't good enough for Texas. That's how you elevate. Either you're a great coordinator at a high-end program, and that gets you the job, or you're a really successful coach at a low-end program, and that gets you a high-end job. Just like his coaches he's hired, Bobby Hurley went Power 5, Nate Oates went Power 5 in basketball from Buffalo, Scott Frost went Power 5. It wouldn't surprise me if Josh Heupel at some point goes Power 5. This is that kind of hire for an athletic director. One Power 5 administrator, though, did say this, and he said that he thinks Danny White is arrogant and said, quote, classic Tennessee hire, rushed, shiny, minimal substance. Now, that's one guy's opinion. It's one guy whose opinion I trust a lot. And that opinion will be in my head as I watch what Danny White does at Tennessee. But there are a lot of guys who have worked their way into being a high-end athletic director or high-end football coach because they've got a big personality and it worked at the lower level. And a lot of these guys are arrogant anyways. Even the most successful athletic directors are a little arrogant. If a guy's going to put up 2017 national championship banners, you got to guess deep down in your heart, he's probably a little arrogant. So I'm not going to hold that against him. But we'll see. Is it minimum substance or is he a guy who can just really see and analyze how to hire coaches, how to develop coaches, and is that what he did at UCF where he made Scott Frost the National Coach of the Year, and Scott Frost is 12-20 at Nebraska? So we'll see on that end. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you want to get in, 615-737-1025. Chris in Nashville texts our text line, which is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and says, I feel better than I did last night when I heard about Fulmer's buyout. Now, again, Philip Fulmer is going to ultimately earn $1.3 million from the University of Tennessee. It comes out to $37,500 a month. $37,000 a month through 2023. People, get ready for Danny White's buyout because it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be cheap. And the next football coach that Danny White gets to hire, his buyout's going to be expensive too. And I bet both buyouts are going to be very carefully worded after what happened to Jeremy Pruitt and his buyout. And don't think Jeremy Pruitt's buyout is done. Jeremy Pruitt's going to sue the University of Tennessee. Neither side is going to want to see that in court. So they're going to be paying part of that too. So they got to pay Beverly Davenport's buyout. They got to pay John Curry's buyout. They got to pay Butch Jones's buyout. They're going to have to give Jeremy Pruitt something. They're paying Philip Fulmer's buyout. They're going to pay Mike White more than they were paying, or Danny White more than they were paying Fulmer. They're going to have to pay a football coach. And let's not forget, and I don't know this for a fact. I don't know any of this. You don't think Schiano got something for what happened when they agreed to hire him and then took it back? Because he signed that document now. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's get to your calls and your texts again on this. Adam Rittenberg from ESPN going to join us later this hour. But also, coming up next, everybody now is going to turn their attention to football coach. Why the names you're thinking for football coach might not be how Danny White sees it. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company right here on ESPN 1025 The Game. We have a great, great show coming up, but I should remind you all, it is Predator season. The Predators will be back out on the ice tomorrow, and it's important for me to remind you that Smashville Live returns this Wednesday on ESPN 1025 The Game. The show will air every Wednesday during the Pred season from 6 to 7, and will feature Preds players, former players, and other special guests. And something new this year, of course, it's all virtual. You can watch it on TV at your home with 1025 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and at thegamenashville.com. Join us every Wednesday from 6 to 7 this hockey season for Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. For more information, go to thegamenashville.com/Smashville Live. Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025 The Game.
Tennessee, I think, from a textbook standpoint, has to look at someone young and inspiring, and make this a reclamation project, and just quit getting hung up. I mean, Tennessee fans just really have an inflated view of their own importance. You guys know that. You take calls from them every day. And, you know, this is going to be a rude awakening for them that this program is not relevant. It's not back. It's nowhere right now. And even a really good coaching hire is not going to bring them back immediately. It's going to take a considerable amount of time, assuming that they can navigate the NCAA waters. And the good news is that Jeremy Pruitt is gone. He was a disaster. And I know I thought he was going to be successful at one point, but we all make mistakes. But there has been at no time during this time we've been together during this time slot have any of us thought he knew what he was doing. So, you know, that train pulled out of here. The fact that Fulmer is gone is probably a good thing, too. So you're getting a fresh start, but will people be patient? That is the question.
That was Paul Feinbaum on the Midday Show yesterday, Darren Donick and Chase, and he didn't hold back. And he goes on every week and has ripped on Jeremy Pruitt. Thank goodness Jeremy Pruitt's gone. Danny White is in, the athletic director. Now, I got an idea about how Danny White hires, and I'll get to that in a second, but a texter to the text line, 615-737-1025, says, Tommy says, Tennessee needs to hire Gerard Mayo. I was told, he said this morning on another radio station, that he would take the offer. He said Tennessee needs someone with leadership and someone who cares about the university and has people around them that care, such as himself. And I thought it would be good for Tennessee football. It doesn't take a big head coach resume to be a great coach, nor a long assistant coach resume. The last several coaches haven't cared like Gerard Mayo does. I have such a hard time with this. The idea of, you know what? Yeah, our guy has no experience, but he's our guy. And because he's our guy, I think he needs to be the head coach. I understand that Gerard Mayo is interviewed for some NFL head coaching opportunities. By the way, he's not going to get one. He also didn't even really come close in any of them. Gerard Mayo's experience as a coach is limited to 2019 and 2020 as the inside linebackers coach of the New England Patriots. Now, we all know that he's got a great resume as a player, Super Bowl champion, two-time All-Pro, first-team All-Pro, Defensive Rookie of the Year, first-team All-SEC. He's a Vol. I get it. He has almost no experience. He has no experience in college football. I keep hearing this, too, about guys that are possibilities. People bring up Jeff Fisher as the head coach of Tennessee. He has no experience, zero experience in college football. How are you going to recruit players if you don't have any experience in college football? Have you ever thought about that? Like, if you were to get a job right now, if you were to put me on an NBA, put me on NBA radio right now, I wouldn't be very good. I watch the NBA a little bit. I have the NBA League Pass. I'm a fan of the Orlando Magic. But I don't cover the NBA. I haven't covered the NBA since 2013. And even then, it was for a year. The NFL, I know. The NHL, I know. College sports, SEC, I know. I can't get on right now, Big Ten Radio, and start talking to you about the leaders and legends divisions. I don't know. Gerard Mayo's never coached college football. And yet, because the guy goes on the radio and says, I care about UT and I'd take the job, you want to offer him the job? Like, why not give the job to Andy Kelly? Give the job to anybody who played for the Vols or has coached for the Vols. Give that guy the job. I mean, seriously, what are we talking about here? So, no. Gerard Mayo is not going to be the next head coach at Tennessee. Gerard Mayo should not be the next head coach at Tennessee. Again, I know everybody knows the name, and he's coaching for the Patriots, and he's the inside linebacker coach. But the last guy who was Greg Schiano was defensive coordinator of the Patriots when they hired Gerard Mayo. And guess what? You all didn't think he was good enough to be coach. So, no. Gerard Mayo is not going to be the head coach at the University of Tennessee. And he shouldn't be the head coach at the University of Tennessee. If anything, this athletic director hire tells you that they're not going to go in that direction. The last athletic director was, hey, he's a Vol. He loves the Vols. We love the Vols. We need a guy who loves the Vols. He's a Vol. He's our guy. He's gone. This guy has no relation to the Vols whatsoever. Again, the closest connection I could think of is his dad is the athletic director at Duke. David Cutcliffe is the coach at Duke. And that's the connection. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's somebody with a Duke football connection who becomes the head coach at the University of Tennessee. I wouldn't be surprised. Because that's where he's gone for basketball. But no. Gerard Mayo is not going to be the next coach. By the way, I look at the two football hires he made at Central Florida, Scott Frost and Josh Heupel. Both guys were coordinators. Now, again, UCF is not a Power 5 job, so you're not looking at the same candidate pool. But he's gone for two coordinators, and they're not the sexy kind of coordinators that are lighting up the scoreboard or the best of the best team in the country, Missouri. And Oregon, now Oregon was kind of lighting up the scoreboard, but Scott Frost, Mariota's offensive coordinator, that's the kind of guy he likes. He likes offensive coordinators. That's the one thing I've taken away, offensive coordinators, and in the case of Scott Frost, a guy who's coached both sides of the ball. That's not Gerard Mayo. Both guys, extensive college football experience. Again, that's not Gerard Mayo. Let's go to your phones. 615-737-1025. Cedric is up next on the Vols. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Cedric.
Man, listen, our fan base reeks of Vols nepotism. I do not want any coach affiliated with the University of Tennessee. I don't want any players. Listen, man, was Nick Saban, did he have anything to do with the University of Alabama before he took the job?
No, he's a mercenary.
What about Urban Meyer? Well, I mean, what about Pete? I mean, go down the list of the most successful coaches in college football in the last 10 years, and almost none of them had anything to do with their university. Now, some people say, well, Kirby Smart went back to Georgia. Good. They're getting ready to get put on probation as well. Texas tried to hire Urban Meyer for crying out loud. Let's go get the best guy that can stabilize. This has got to be done in stages. We've got to get some stability here. Go hire a guy like Gus. Let Gus get us back to 9-10 wins per year for about 6 or 7 years, and then the job becomes more attractive. We're not going to – people, remember the last 4 coaching searches. Everybody turned us down. That's all I got to say, Jerry.
Oh. Thank you, Cedric. I don't disagree with any of that. I mean, I think this is a process. You heard what Feinbaum said in the clip we played coming back. This is a process for Tennessee. And the idea that you're going to get somebody that brings you right back, I don't think that that's possible. I don't think that that's even fair to put on Danny White to go make him find a coach who can turn around and bring UT right back. Charlie is up next here on Danny White at UCF. Thank you for calling the show. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead, Charlie.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Jared. Yeah, they may have hired the right guy because what Tennessee does best is waste money. And this guy, when he was AD down there at Central Florida, he's going around telling everybody they won the national championship, and I guess I don't know if he'd read the contracts or what, but Scott Frost, before he went to Nebraska, he had a $500,000 bonus if he won the national championship, and his assistant coaches had bonuses too. I don't know what their exact price was, but they kept their mouth shut, and after he announced it that they had won the national championship, they're like, hey, how about paying us that money before we leave, buddy? Thanks for taking my call, bud.
Did they pay the money?
Yeah, I don't know if he read the contract.
So, Charlie, I appreciate your call. Most times athletic directors have that in their contracts too. And so if everybody's getting paid for winning the national championship on their way out the door, it wouldn't surprise me if Danny White got paid for winning the championship on his way out of the door. But I don't – just because you claim the national championship does not mean that you did, in fact, win the national championship. And that's one thing that Tennessee's going to have to get over – or UCF's going to have to get over – that they did not win the national championship. Let's go to Kevin, who's up next, wants to get in on Jerod Mayo. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, Jared, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, man, so I'm not like a huge Vols fan, so I don't really have a dog in the fight. But I was curious, like, you were comparing your radio credentials to – Jerod Mayo's coaching credentials, and you know, while I enjoy your show, I listen to it, but you got to admit, the guy has played at the highest level, and he's coaching at the highest level.
Is he coaching at the highest level?
You're
is
not exactly lighting up the national radio circuit.
I've got the 18th best show in the country.
Calling games on Sundays.
I got the 18th best show in the country. Thank you, Kevin. In fact, I have more experience doing what I do than Jerod Mayo has doing what he does. Just because you're a good player does not mean you will be a good coach. And college football and pro football are not the same thing. Urban Meyer is getting ready to learn that. It's not the same. Ask Steve Spurrier. Adam Rittenberg of ESPN, his thoughts on the Danny White hire, his thoughts on where this takes UT. That's next. Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tennessee has made the athletic director hire of Danny White official. One of the lines in the press release that got me was from UT System President Randy Boyd. And I got to say, I was a little bothered by this when he talked about how proud they were of Philip Fulmer on Monday, comparing it to when they won the title in 98. Like, not the same kind of proud. And Randy Boyd said, quote, Danny White is a great fit for the programs we are building at Tennessee. He combines a strong vision for competitive excellence with a deep commitment to winning with integrity. Okay, that's fine. Good. Right. Then says, quote, the greatest decade in UT athletics begins now. Not sure how I feel about that. With that, Adam Rittenberg, ESPN College Football, joins us on the program. Adam, what's your reaction to the news that Tennessee, after everything that happened this week with Jeremy Pruitt and everything, they hired Danny White, a guy who's been very successful at UCF. What did you make of that hire when it came across your desk today?
Yeah, I was shocked that they acted this quickly. A program that rightfully has been lambasted and called incompetent and all the other adjectives you can choose, you know, did do this right and did it quickly and found somebody who certainly is respected in the industry, who's a real athletic director, and I think can give them a chance to find some stability amid what's still a very rocky period for the program, so or for the entire athletic program, but especially in football. So, yeah, I applaud Tennessee for being this quick. I thought we were going to look at, you know, February, you know, maybe even later. Athletic director searches usually take a while, but clearly they had been moving on this one very quickly and identified someone in Danny White who has a chance to really create some success in Knoxville.
Adam, the way I look at it is when you have success in the Group of Five, then you get hired for a Power Five job. And sometimes it's Urban Meyer going from Utah to Florida, and sometimes it's Tom Herman, who we all thought was going to be a success, or at least I did, thought was going to be a success from Houston to Texas, and it doesn't work out. I feel like this is the same way with Danny White, and that's what makes it a good hire for Tennessee, or at least, you know, resume-wise, is that there's not some tie to Tennessee that is, well, he'll do a great job here because he's a Vol, which is, I think, how a lot of people felt about Philip Fulmer. How do you feel about the group of five AD going to the Power Five like that?
Right. Well, we've seen a lot of examples of it, and I would say there's probably more successful examples than unsuccessful ones, but there's risk in every hire. I do agree with you that Tennessee was wise to look outside the family for this hire and maybe wise to look outside for the football hire as well, though we'll see how that one plays out. But at least for this one, to bring in somebody with fresh eyes who has been in college athletics essentially his whole life because of his father, because of other people in his family who are working in college athletics. So I think it's somebody who gives you a chance to pivot away from, let's face it, a very dysfunctional period, a dark period, into one that ideally is more of stability, not just in terms of winning on the field, but avoiding some of the problems that have happened for Tennessee, you know, like the situation right now. That's the goal here, and I do think bringing someone in from the outside is the right approach.
Adam Rittenberg's our guest at ESPN. How much do you think that bringing in Danny White will help the credibility of the football coaching search, given everything that's happened to UT as of late?
Right. Well, the initial feedback from sources in the industry I was just texting with today, you know, said, well, okay, now it's going to be a real search. You know, Danny White's not being brought in there to, you know, just kind of hand the job to Kevin Steele or get through the next year. Although I guess anything is possible. We don't know yet the gravity or the scope of the violations that Tennessee has found in its investigation. We know there are a number of them. As their chancellor indicated, we know there are a number of serious violations under Jeremy Pruitt's watch. So how does that shape what happens next? But at least we're sitting here on January 21st with an athletic director in place. Now you can begin the process of really looking at who's available from a football coach perspective, as opposed to you do this and you get an athletic director in February or March. And, you know, it's very hard at that point to get to do a full, robust coaching search that can land you a good choice here. So I'm interested to see what Danny White does and what Tennessee does, and just how the, you know, kind of the looming clouds of what's coming as far as these violations and potential penalties affects the coaching search and certainly the candidates that they're targeting, how much interest they have, how reciprocal is it, and what type of coach can they get in here to lead this program going forward.
It's funny looking at Danny White's resume in terms of hiring coaches, because Scott Frost, for example, was incredibly successful at UCF and has not been very good at Nebraska, although that was a mess when he inherited it. Josh Heupel has been good at UCF, but neither guy was a sexy name. They were both coordinators. They had both coached a while in college football before getting their chance at UCF. Basketball, he's made good hires when he was at Buffalo. What do we make of the hires at UCF that Danny White made, and maybe how that plays into what Tennessee could be looking for?
Right, yeah, I think it's a pretty good list. And, you know, you look at his time at Buffalo, and I believe he hired Lance Leipold as well, who's done a terrific
yes.
job at Buffalo, a guy that came from Division III and was sort of the Nick Saban of Division III. He's done a really nice job at Buffalo. But, yeah, certainly the hires at UCF have been interesting. The Heupel one was a real shock. Nobody saw that coming. I think he was a coordinator at Utah State, and then he moved over to UCF. And then, you know, Frost is a bigger name. Frost is going to, you know, on track to be a potentially a Power Five head coach right out of Oregon. He obviously went to UCF, had great success there before returning to his alma mater in Nebraska. But I think Tennessee fans should feel, okay, this is a guy that is willing to, you know, do the legwork on these searches, you know, hire some non-traditional candidates, even in basketball. I think he hired Nate Oates at Buffalo. That worked out certainly well. Now he's at Alabama. You know, Bob Hurley, you know, he's made some interesting, moves, and he's a guy that's very well connected in college athletics because of what I mentioned, the family and being Kevin White's son and being around these people that shape these searches, really his whole life. So I think that's a good position for Tennessee to be in, to have somebody like Danny White, looking at this situation, because it's going to, I don't think it's a search where you interview one or two people and just say, okay, here's our next coach. You have to be thorough. You have to, you know, see who's really interested and find the best person possible for this point in Tennessee's history, which is different than it was 5 years ago, certainly different than it was 15 or 20 years ago when the program was rolling.
Adam Rittenberg, ESPN, our guest. Luke Fickell is a name that has come up a lot, and everybody has dismissed it with a Luke Fickell would not take the Tennessee job. Does hiring an athletic director like Danny White put you back in the mix for guys who probably would have taken the Tennessee job pre-Schiano, but probably wouldn't take it today?
Well, I think, you know, you have to, you mentioned Fickell, you have to at least try. I mean, there's a number of guys on this list or on a candidate list that I put out one and a lot of people did where I don't think they ultimately will go, but it doesn't mean you don't try if you're Danny White. And certainly him being there is an asset, a plus, a positive for Tennessee. I knowing Luke, I don't think he's going to take this job mainly because he's in such a good situation at Cincinnati. He's getting paid very, very well. And the jobs that are likely to come open, I think are better, you know, in the next year or two are much better fits for him than Tennessee. I'm talking about Notre Dame whenever Brian Kelly's done. I'm talking about Penn State if James Franklin were to move on to another job. Michigan would be an interesting one just because of Luke's, very much rooted as an Ohio State Buckeye. And who knows how long Ryan Day is going to be at Ohio State, because the NFL is going to keep coming after him every year. So I think Luke can wait for jobs that are maybe better suited to him, but that doesn't stop Tennessee from trying. Maybe Luke hears something that he likes, and that changes the thought process. And certainly having White there as AD, I can't see how that would work against an attempt to bring Luke Fickell to Knoxville.
Adam Rittenberg, ESPN. Danny White hired as athletic director at Tennessee from UCF. You brought up James Franklin. What are the odds that the Franklin-Penn State marriage isn't so hot? Tennessee fans saw what he did at Vanderbilt. He's got kind of a personality that wears on you after a while. What do we think about the possibility of Franklin maybe trying to get out of Penn State? And would Tennessee even right now be a good landing spot for James Franklin?
Right. Yeah, I don't think James is leaving Penn State for Tennessee. I mean, Penn State's in a better position. I think certainly last year was a rough year for them. But overall, he's had a very successful tenure in state college, and everything that I've heard has a pretty good relationship with Sandy Barber, their athletic director, and other important people around that program. He's a guy that I certainly would look at as a possibility if USC were to open in a year's time, which, you know, a lot of people think is likely with Clay Helton being on the hot seat. That's a job where I see James Franklin moving potentially from state college. I don't see him leaving. Again, the problem here is we don't know what's coming down the pike with sanctions or postseason ban. And we know the program from a roster standpoint, Penn State's roster is in much better shape than Tennessee's roster. James Franklin's won a Big Ten championship. He has a clear path to trying to win this year with Ohio State maybe losing some players. Then you go to Tennessee, you're probably 2 or 3 years away from even competing in the SEC East. So you never say never. You know, I've seen stranger things happen with college coaching movement, but that one would really shock me.
What is, last question for you, Adam, what is the outside perception of the Tennessee football job?
Well, it's interesting. I was texting with a Power 5 coach who isn't going to be a candidate there, but, you know, maybe at a different time, either in the past or certainly in the future, might be. And, you know, he was talking about how great this job is, but why can't they get it right? Why is there a level of dysfunction there that kind of obscures everything else? This is one text he sent me. It should be an amazing job. Maybe someday it will be. They have every resource to be successful and have had that for a long time and still can't get it going. And I think this is only one coach, but I think that's a familiar feeling around, you know, coaches that Tennessee might be able to go after for a job like this. And that makes Danny White's job even more important and probably tougher. Can he convince those coaches that we have our stuff together? This is a place that has great fan support, which it does, has great facilities, which it does, has tradition, long-term tradition of winning there, and wants to win. But again, this is what you're fighting. That's just one example, but I think that's probably the feeling that a lot of coaches have about Tennessee right now.
Adam Rittenberg, ESPN. Adam, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Great insight.
Oh, you bet. Thanks for having me on.
Yep, Adam Rittenberg, ESPN. And I think that's how a lot of fans feel when you hear the text message from the coach. It should be an amazing job. It has the resources. It has the tradition. It has the history. we all know if you're older than the age of 20, you know that you can win at Tennessee because you've seen it in your lifetime. But then the question has to be why? Why can't they? Why can't they? And I feel like that's something that has been discussed a lot. 615-737-1025. Paul Feinbaum said something yesterday about the Tennessee job that I truly feel like shows you right now. Tennessee fans are going to have to be patient. We all know that. But I think it puts in perspective how much the dysfunction that Adam was just talking about, how much the dysfunction slows Tennessee down. We'll get to that coming up next. Hey, tune in to Robbie and Rex Road every weekday morning on Preds Game Day at 8:45 this season for your chance to participate in a Preds Pick to Click. Win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Next chance to participate is tomorrow morning. Stillman and Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.